Good morning. Merry Christmas. I pray that you had a nice day yesterday. And before we go to the Word, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the special day that we just celebrated. And the celebration continues now, the day after Christmas, and every day, because there is no greater gift than you. Nothing greater than knowing you, God, worshiping you, serving you, telling others of you and the good news of your birth, life, death, and resurrection for us. And now you are seated on your throne at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us as our alive and risen Savior. And so we pray that as we continue in a spirit of worship, would you speak to us through your Word, by your Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many of us love Christmas. But why is that? Why do we get so into Christmas? One author writes, "Somehow we can't resist the spirit of the season. Once we find ourselves enveloped in the sights and the sounds, more than the receiving of presents, Christmas scratches the itch of grace within each of us. It prompts us to give with no agenda of getting something in return. Christmas prompts us to demonstrate grace. And I love the anticipation and the excitement that builds around this season and the joy that comes when we wake up on Christmas morning to celebrate his birth. A central theme of Advent is that of expecting and waiting. I remember sitting in church as a child and getting excited each Advent Sunday as the next candle was lit, because it meant that you were that much closer to Christmas. As a young person, it was hard to wait. I had a hard time sleeping on Christmas Eve because I couldn't wake up. I couldn't wait to wake up and celebrate Christmas. There was so much built-up excitement that when you got to Christmas night, I remember feeling some sadness that it was all over, and you had to wait another 364 days until the next Christmas. Today we see a man in Scripture who was waiting with no idea of when the wait would be over. He wasn't just waiting for a year. He was waiting his whole life for that first Christmas, the first Advent of Christ. Have you ever waited for something your whole life? Maybe you've been waiting for a family member to come to Christ or come back to God. Or perhaps it feels like you've been waiting what seems like forever to get married or to have a child. Perhaps you've been waiting for healing in your life and peace. Waiting is not easy. I mean, it's not a strength of mine, whether it's waiting in line or waiting in traffic, waiting to hear back some important news. But as we see today in the testimony of Simeon in Luke 2, in the waiting, God is working. Simeon displays one of the finest examples of waiting in all of Scripture, patiently waiting with hope, hope in a promise. And before we meet Simeon, we see four verses of context, starting in Luke 2, verse 21. "And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Mary and Joseph give their child the name Jesus, the name the angel said he should have. The angel said to Mary in Luke 1:30, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God, and you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." The people of Israel had been walking in darkness, waiting for the light of Messiah. As Pastor Jason spoke of last week in Isaiah chapter 9, they were waiting for a light that has dawned. And Isaiah was speaking of something still 700 years in the future. And it's what we just celebrated when Messiah finally arrives. Even before his conception, he's given the name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of the name Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. So salvation has finally come in the person of Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." At just the right time, Jesus was born under the law, and he was raised by faithful Jewish parents. And in verses 21 through 24, we see Mary and Joseph faithfully following several Jewish traditions of the law. Number one, as was the custom with Jewish baby boys, this most special child was circumcised at 8 days old, according to Leviticus 12:3. And then tradition number two, according to Leviticus 12:2, when a woman gave birth to a male child, a ritual purification was to take place for the mother for 33 days. And then tradition number three, 40 days after the birth of her son, the mother was required by law to present an offering to the Lord in Jerusalem as part of her purification. We see this in Leviticus 12:6. When the days of her purification are completed for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the doorway of the tent of meeting a one-year-old lamb for a burnt offering, or a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. In the time of Christ, there is no longer a tent of meeting, but the temple, Herod's temple. And the normal offering given by parents was a lamb. But if a couple didn't have the means to buy a lamb, they could present two doves or pigeons. And that's what Mary and Joseph provide when they enter into the courts. The child is brought in to be presented and dedicated to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And as all of this is taking place, the family is interrupted, but it's a divine interruption from one of my favorite characters in all of scriptures, in all of the scripture, Simeon. An overlooked person in scripture and in this Christmas story. Verse 25, "And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." We observe several things about this godly man in Jerusalem. Number one, he was righteous. Number two, he was devout. Number three, he was looking for the consolation of Israel. And four, the Holy Spirit was upon him. We don't know anything about this man's background, but what we do know paints a beautiful picture of Simeon's character. He was a holy, pious man who was faithfully coming to the temple every day. And he wasn't just praying, but he was expectantly waiting, waiting and watching for Messiah, the one described as the consolation of Israel. This is another name for Christ to add to the names that we saw last Sunday in Isaiah 9. Jesus is the consolation of Israel. The people had been groaning and they'd been crying out in pain, waiting for the comfort and consolation and redemption from the one who would bring peace and the tender mercy of God. And it's not specifically said here in the text, but we can imply that Simeon was an older man, because we read in verse 26 that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so I want us to notice today, through Simeon's testimony, four principles when it comes to waiting, so that we too can persevere through the waiting. Number one, in the waiting, know that God is still working. He keeps working. Some of you may have just gathered yesterday with relatives, or you're about to today or in the days to come. And family gatherings, as we know, can always be interesting. As you bring together different personalities, and all of us may have at least one or two unique family members. That crazy, kooky Uncle Billy. And when you get together, you're never quite sure what Uncle Billy might say or do. If Uncle Billy is visiting with us today, you know, welcome to Wayside. But I wonder if that's how Simeon was perceived. When others saw him coming up the temple steps, did they laugh and say, "Here comes crazy old Simeon, spouting off about the coming Messiah"? And he even said that the Holy Spirit told him that he would not die until he sees Messiah. But this righteous man just keeps waiting and expecting redemption to come. God made a promise to Abraham when Abraham was 75 years old that God would make him to a great nation in Genesis 12. But Abraham had to wait another 25 years for that promise to be fulfilled. In Genesis 39, Joseph is thrown into prison for a crime that he didn't commit. And while in prison, he helps Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, and it looks like this is going to be his ticket out of jail. But the cupbearer forgets about Joseph, and Joseph has to wait in prison another 2 years. But in the waiting, know that God has not forgotten about you. He's still moving. He's still working. He's still developing your character. Like with Simeon, he's using the waiting to sanctify you and to align your heart with his heart. And number two, in the waiting, keep watch. Keep walking in the Spirit. We don't know how long the wait's going to be, so we keep faithfully walking by the power of the Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit was very prominent in Simeon's life. We read that the Holy Spirit was upon him, and then the Spirit told Simeon that he wouldn't die before seeing the promise of Messiah. And then day after day, Simeon came in the Spirit into the temple, waiting and watching and looking for Messiah. But Simeon wasn't getting any younger, so he had to have thought at times, "How long, O Lord?" He had no idea that just months before, the angel Gabriel had announced to Mary that she would be the one to bear Messiah. Simeon didn't know that the wait was over. He didn't know that 40 days ago, the angels had brought the most glorious birth announcement to the shepherds, saying that a Savior had been born. God had become flesh, and he now dwells among us in the person of Jesus. Not knowing any of that, Simeon continues to wait and to watch and to walk in the Spirit day after day, all those years. But today is going to be different. For at that precise time, Mary and Joseph also walk into the temple courts with their infant son. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God. For those who weren't waiting, those who weren't watching and looking for Messiah like the religious elite, those that may have even laughed or mocked Simeon, they missed it when Jesus came into the temple that day. For Jesus didn't come for the self-righteous, but the humble in spirit. Jesus will say later on to the religious leaders in Luke 5:31, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord reveals himself to the humble, Isaiah 66:2, but I will look to this one, at one who is humble and contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word. Even as a child, Jesus revealed himself to those who were earnestly seeking him. He would come to the tax collectors and the sinners and those who were in obscurity and those on the fringes of society, those like Simeon. So as we patiently wait, let us not lose heart in doing good. Galatians 6:9, for in due time we will reap a harvest if we do not grow weary. Like Simeon in the waiting, let's watch expectantly and let's walk faithfully in the Spirit. And number three, in the waiting, keep your eyes on God's promises. In the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke, we see this Christmas playlist of worship songs and hymns. First with Mary and her song, which is known as the Magnificat, because that's the first word of this passage in the Latin. Magnificat, or magnify. Mary sings in Luke 1:46, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. The people have been waiting century after century for Messiah, and Mary recognizes that God has remembered. He hasn't forgotten his promises. And then the next song from that Christmas playlist is from Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias, who gives his own song of praise for Messiah. In Luke 1:68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. And now, as Simeon takes the child from Mary's arms, he sings his own hymn of praise here in Luke 2:29. Now, Lord, you are letting your bondservant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Sometimes when people are holding a newborn baby that is not their own, sometimes they say awkward things like, wow, he sure does have his father's ears. Or, where did all that hair come from? But Simeon had no doubt what he was going to say. He had been rehearsing this moment his entire life as he announces that he is looking at God's salvation right in his arms. I love this image of this frail, godly, older gentleman who knows immediately, here is Messiah. This is my salvation. He had been looking so long for Christ that when he saw him, he knew it right away. Philip Keller, in his book, Rabboni, writes, "Tenderly Simeon took the infant in his thin, bony arms. With eyes uplifted in glowing wonder and gratitude, he gave thanks to God. Here in his hands he held the Christ, who was the glory of Israel. Here before his dim old eyes that had waited so long, he saw the light of the world, a light to enlighten not only his own people, but all the Gentile world." Now that Simeon has finally seen the Lord's salvation, he is now content and ready to experience that salvation. "Now let your servant depart in peace." There is nothing left to see. I bet many Chicago sports fans felt that way in 2016 when the Chicago Cubs finally won the World Series after a drought of 108 years. But there was one diehard Cubs fan named Hazel Nilsson who was born in 1908, the year that the Cubs had won their last title. And although she had been alive for just a few months when they won last, Hazel had been waiting her entire life to see her beloved Cubbies win just one more time. 108 years. It's a long time to wait. But the wait is worth it when that wait is finally over. And for Simeon, the wait is finally over. Luke 2:33. "And his mother and father were amazed at these things which were being said about him." Christ's parents, they were in a state of wonder and amazement at all that had taken place these last 10 months. They knew that their child was the Messiah, but perhaps they didn't yet realize the universal scope of his ministry of salvation to not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. "For God so loved the world," John 3:16, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And now Simeon is about to hint at the suffering it would cost Jesus to bring that salvation. Verse 34, "And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and as a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Praise will be the response of godly people toward Messiah throughout the book of Luke. But as Simeon is holding Jesus, we see this foreboding footnote, the first hint of suffering that will also characterize Christ's life. "For Simeon tells Mary that your son will be opposed, and he will cause many to fall and many others to rise." The fall speaks to the judgment of the arrogant, and the rise refers to the salvation of the humble. As one writer says, Jesus is the great magnet of the ages. Many will be drawn to him by faith, others will reject him. And then Simeon looks into Mary's eyes and says, "Mary, a sword will even pierce your own soul." Imagine holding someone else's child and then looking at his mom and saying, "One day your heart's going to break because of him." Simeon doesn't say what will happen, but he tells Mary how it will feel. And Mary likely didn't understand those words at the time, but she never forgot them. Perhaps those words came rushing back to her as she sees her firstborn son hanging on a Roman cross. Her heart was pierced as her son was pierced for our transgressions. Christ died for the sins of humanity in order that we might be saved. He died in the cruelest way possible, death on a cross. And just as Simeon carefully hands back the child to his mother, Jesus would be carefully taken down from that cross and perhaps placed one more time in his mother's arms. As Simeon welcomed this child at Christmas, he was pointing forward to Good Friday, when God's Son was punished as a sinner by his Father, even though he had never sinned. He had never failed to love his Father. He had never failed to love his neighbor. But he was now bearing the sins of humanity. God's judgment had come, and it was God in the person of Jesus who was experiencing it. But the darkness of that day brought forth the dawn of the resurrection just 3 days later, just as Jesus promised. He said in Mark 9:31 that he would be killed, but that he will rise 3 days later. So in the waiting, keep your eyes on God's promises. And then finally, when the wait is over, keep worshiping. We aren't just to worship when things are going well, but worship him in the trial, in the midst of the fire. We worship in the waiting, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of that diagnosis, in the midst of those treatments, in the midst of the grieving and the loss and the hurt. We can still worship and rejoice in God's goodness. We see this rejoicing in another beautiful testimony in verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She did not leave the temple grounds, serving night and day with fasts and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak about him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon and Anna are remarkable bookends to this amazing encounter with Christ. And if we had more time, we would look more closely at Anna, this godly woman with this single-minded devotion to God. She prayed and she fasted night and day, and she continues the ministry that Simeon had started as she joins in on this worship song, announcing to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel that Messiah had come. When Simeon finally sees Jesus, he says that he can now depart in peace. That word for depart speaks to an anchor being pulled up so that a ship can move from the dock to a new shore. When we come to Christ, when we transfer our trust to Christ, peace, the peace of God, is what fills us, because we know where we are headed if today were our last day. But peace doesn't mean a life without conflict. It's an internal peace that comes from trusting Christ alone for eternal life. It's the peace of God, Philippians 4:7, which transcends all understanding and guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We can have peace in the waiting because we know God is still working. And when we take a photo of something with our phone, we can tell right away if we like that photo or not, and we can immediately edit it and use all sorts of filters to enhance the photo. But if we don't like how it turned out, we can just delete it and take another one. But if you are of an older generation, You remember what it was like when you took photos on an actual camera. Does anyone remember cameras? But when you took a roll of film, and then you had to drop it off at Walgreens, and then you had to wait like 2 weeks to get your photos back. And they called you and told you, come on in and pick up your photos. And you went in and you opened up the envelope and you prayed that you didn't take all of your vacation photos with your thumb over the lens. It took so long to get the photos back because the negatives from that little canister had to be sent off and taken into a dark room in order to be safely exposed and processed and developed. It was a lengthy process that you couldn't rush, or the photos may not turn out. To those here today, or to those watching online, or to those who may hear the audio of this, you might be like Simeon right now, and you find yourself in the waiting room, or the dark room of life, so to speak. And you're waiting. But it doesn't mean that God is not working. It doesn't mean that nothing is happening. He's still working in the waiting. Perhaps God is using the waiting to develop you and to grow you. So while you wait, keep watch. Keep walking in the Spirit. Keep your eyes on God's promises. And let's keep worshiping. If we rush the waiting, we might miss out on some of the beauty that is yet to be developed in each one of us. There may be some here today, or there may be some online who have yet to place their faith and their trust in Christ alone. And there is no greater gift than the gift of Jesus and eternal life found in Him. And all you have to do is receive that gift. Receive Him by faith. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. God may be calling you to Himself today. So let's not keep Him waiting. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we desire to exalt You, Lord, to rejoice in You, and to echo the songs of praise that we see in Luke 1 and 2. We thank You that You became like us at Christmas to live the life that we could not live, a sinless, perfect one, in order to die the death that we should have died because of our sin. As C.S. Lewis wrote, "When You died, Lord, You died for each one of us individually just as much as if we had been the only person in the world. And Your death made a way for us to be reconciled to the Father." And praise be to God that You walked out of that grave 3 days later, risen and victorious, to give us the gift of eternal life if we just come to You in faith. And like we've seen today in the testimonies of Simeon and Anna, fill us with an expectant yearning and longing for You. As we look to the new year, give us a greater hunger and thirst for You and Your Word as we wait, as we watch, and as we worship You. And Father, I do want to praise You today and thank You today for Pastor Cameron and Becca Contristano, as this is their last Sunday with us before they transition to our 410 campus. Lord, we pray your great blessing upon them, their family, and their ministry to our college students and our young adults. Thank you for the impact that you have allowed them to have here with our families, with our students, with the gospel. We thank you for their ministry and their friendship. We pray your blessing upon them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.